It is my very great fortune and pleasure to be amongst all of you on this very auspicious ceremony of Gita Jayanti in Sri Rukmini Dwarkadisha's beautiful temple. When Srila Prabhupada first came to the Western world on behalf of his guru and a great disciplic line of saintly teachers, his heart was filled with a very, very deep enthusiasm to bring real happiness to people's lives. Because everyone is looking for happiness. But happiness is a state of consciousness. Happiness is not determined by external circumstances. Prabhupada could see that people were chasing after the temporary, flickering pleasures of this world and were forgetful of the great treasure within their own hearts, the treasure of love of God. Everyone is seeking love, love that will not end. Love that will satisfy one's innermost needs. Krishna, the Supreme, all-attractive Lord, is the eternal reciprocator of that type of love. Therefore, factually, everyone in all species of life, at all times, are looking for Krishna, but have forgotten where he is, and are looking practically everywhere else. Bhagavad Gita is the essence, the summary of all Vedic literatures. Srila Prabhupada was asked, which translation and commentary of Bhagavad Gita he would recommend. Now please know, Srila Prabhupada was not a sectarian person. He believed in the universality of true religion. The essence is to truly love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. He explained that although there was perhaps 100 translations and commentaries of the Bhagavad Gita in the English language, he could not, with a clear conscience, recommend any of them. This was painful to his heart, because the world needed to understand Sri Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, with great effort, he began the translations and purports to Bhagavad Gita as it is. How much effort? It's actually quite extraordinary. It took Prabhupada years to complete the entire manuscript. And it was stolen. It was stolen from him. He had to start all over again while he was simultaneously translating other books and preaching and guiding and counseling people. Srila Prabhupada calls it Bhagavad Gita as it is for a very clear reason, that the true meaning that Krishna wanted us to understand, as it has been understood by great saintly persons from the beginning of the creation and handed down systematically and perfectly, he was giving to us. He was not giving his own interpretation. He was simply repeating in a very practical and very compassionate way the way Bhagavad Gita has truly been understood by the saints throughout history. Prabhupada would sometimes say, my only qualification is I have not added or subtracted anything. I am simply presenting it as it is. He did not want to take credit of presenting a new, unique interpretation that no one has ever seen or heard of before, so that he would become famous. Srila Prabhupada simply wanted to make Krishna famous by repeating his words as his devotees have understood them, realized them, and taught them. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. And he tells himself, Arjuna, what is his qualification for understanding it? Bhaktosi mesha kacheti rahasyam yetat uttamam. He tells Arjuna, you can understand, not just with your brain, but with your heart. You can understand the teachings that I am giving you because you are my devotee, my friend. Therefore, I could reveal everything to you. Bhaktyatva nanyayashakya aham evam vidorajana gyatam drastam chatatvena praveshtam chaparantam. It is only by undivided devotion that I could be understood as I am, standing here before you. Throughout Gita, Krishna is presenting himself as the Supreme Person. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my loving service and worship me with all their hearts. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Abandon all varieties of religion. Just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. There is no truth superior to me. Everything is resting on me as pearls are strung on a thread. Throughout Gita, Krishna is saying like this. And ultimately, Krishna culminates, Man manabhava madbhakto madhya jindam namaskuru mame vaishyashi shatyam te prati jani priyoshime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me, and this way you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my friend. One of the most popular editions of Gita was written by a scholar, and actually they all translate it practically the same. But they're commentaries. They give their own interpretations. This particular commentary, which is very common, when Krishna says me, he does not mean him. He means the unborn, eternal within him. Now, according to the Vedas and according to the Acharyas, Mahabharata is meant for the very simple, not very scholarly, intelligent class of people. It's for common people. And Bhagavad Gita is 18 chapters in Mahabharata. If Krishna meant the unborn eternal within him, he would have said it. He doesn't even indicate that. Rather, he very clearly explains just the opposite. Always think of me. He reveals His form as eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavam ampapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatmad sudurlabha. Herein Krishna actually talks about Himself. He says His own name, just to make it clear. After so much study of the various religious systems, after practicing religious activities, birth after birth after birth, when one finally comes to the point of real knowledge, one surrenders to Vasudeva, to Krishna, knowing Him to be the cause of all causes and all that is. So it is this spirit of understanding Bhagavad Gita that actually allows our heart to be receptive to the Absolute Truth. Tadvidi pranipatina pariprasnena sevya. Evam parampara praptam idam rajarshaya vidhu. Krishna says, we must understand the truth by approaching a spiritual master. And that spiritual master should not just be a mystic or a scholar. But that spiritual master should be a link in a chain of great spiritual masters who is simply presenting the truth without any trace of false ego. Just giving as it is. There's a beautiful story. Lord Chaitanya, who was Lord Krishna Himself, was on a tour of southern parts of India. He came to the high seat of all learning in South India. It is called Srirangam. Srirangam is a place where the greatest scholars assemble to study the holy scriptures. So when Lord Chaitanya was there, he took note that every day in the temple, there was a simple Brahmin. He would recite the entire text of Bhagavad Gita. Today, our very dear God brother, Nirantra Prabhu, recited the entire text of Bhagavad Gita. How many hours did it take him? 4 hours. So this Brahmin did this every single day. But there was an apparent problem. He was somewhat illiterate. He really didn't know Sanskrit very properly. And therefore, the scholars, the pundits, who would read whatever Vedic literature is in perfect Sanskrit grammar and meter, they laughed at him. They could not take him seriously. Sometimes they ridiculed him. He was just sitting there all alone, stumbling through the Gita. But he didn't care. In fact, as he was reciting it, tears were flowing from his eyes. His limbs would tremble. Sometimes his hairs would stand on end. So Lord Chaitanya happened to see this. And he was attracted to that Brahmin. He asked him, what is it about the Gita that appears to give you such internal ecstasy? The Brahmin was very humble. He said, actually, I am illiterate. I don't even know really what I'm reading so much. Sometimes I understand, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I pronounce it right, sometimes I pronounce it wrong. I do not know the difference. That's why these people are laughing and ridiculing me. But I continue to read here every day because it was the order of my spiritual master. He told me to sit here in this place and read Bhagavad Gita throughout every day. I am not learned. But I have faith in my Guru's words.
and I am serving Him. Since
in this sense, Srila Prabhupada quotes from various scriptures. Yasya devi para bhaktir yatha devi tatha guru. That one who has implicit faith in Guru and Krishna, all of the treasures of the purports of all the spiritual literatures are revealed to that person. Ye yatamam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. Because ultimately, one cannot understand God by scholarship. One can only understand God by the grace of God. Only when Krishna reveals Himself to His devotee can a devotee understand Him as He is. And Krishna reveals Himself when He is pleased by our sincerity, by our humility, by our respect and our honoring those that He loves. This Brahman, because he was sincerely just trying to please his guru, Krishna was pleased with him. The Brahman continued. He told Lord Chaitanya, I really don't know what I'm reading, but as I'm reading, I'm seeing this picture in my heart. I'm seeing Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of all controllers, the master of all living entities. And He is assuming the humble position of the chariot driver for His devotee Arjuna. This is incredible.
Sometimes wealthy people have a chauffeur. And the chauffeur is told, go here, go there. And he just follows his orders.
Krishna became the driver for Arjuna. Arjuna tells Krishna, please take my chariot between the two armies. I want to see who has come. Krishna follows his order. This simple man is thinking like this. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causers, the knower of past, present, and future, has become the chariot driver, the servant of His own devotee. I see Him. He is holding the reins of the horses. And He is a beautiful complexion, which is dark like a monsoon rain cloud. He's the very embodiment of all beauty. He's speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. This simple illiterate Brahman continued. He said, I may not understand so much the words, but my mind is constantly meditating on the beautiful personal form of Krishna, whose eyes are like blooming lotus flowers. And this form is attracting my heart with love. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he became so happy. He personally embraced that Brahman and told him, you are a true authority of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. You have understood perfectly. When Lord Chaitanya embraced that Brahman, he filled that Brahman's heart with the ultimate treasure of life's perfection, prema bhakti. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was weeping to see the simplicity, the humility, and the devotion of this Brahman. For the next 4 months, while Lord Chaitanya was in Sri Rangam, that Brahman was the Lord's constant companion. Not the scholars,
not the great professors, but the simple, humble devotee. Bhagavad Gita is teaching this humble state of pure love. Of course, whatever scholarly propensities we have, we should try to apply them to philosophically and deeply understand the teachings of Gita. But when we understand it, then we realize that actual realization comes by the grace of Krishna, not simply by our own efforts. Our efforts are simply to please the Lord. Atapum bir vijastreshtas varnashrama vibhagasya svanushchitasya dharmasya samsadir haritoshanam. Whatever social position we have in life, whatever occupational duties, the real perfection is simply that our actions, our words, and our thoughts are pleasing to God, who is the Supreme Person, who is seated within everyone's heart. There are many mechanical processes of yoga. There are many mechanical processes of religion which have value in the sense that they may prepare us physically, emotionally, mentally, to be more peaceful, to be more healthy, to be more self-controlled, to have greater concentration. But all of this is meant to fructify in awakening the inner propensity of the heart for spiritual love. And it is that love that pleases Krishna. And Krishna reciprocates only with that love. We can achieve tremendous material wealth. We can achieve mystic perfections where we could perform supernatural feats. We can attain liberation from suffering, detachment from material allurements. We can gain those things by mechanical processes. But the inner need of the heart for love is given personally by the Lord in reciprocation to our devotion. And that is the actual and only real perfection of life. In Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, there was a very, very simple devotee. And his life very much illustrates this principle. Now please know, many of the followers of Lord Chaitanya were the greatest scholars that ever lived on the face of this earth. Persons like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Scholars from all over the world would come to study under him. What a philosopher he was. Such mastery over the scriptures, over logic. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya mastered every school of philosophy except one. The reason was, this particular school of philosophy, there was only one scripture available that taught it. And that was in Mithila, which is north of Bihar, in today's geographical setup. The scholars of Mithila wanted the monopoly over this philosophy. Therefore, they would not make another copy of this scripture. And therefore, nobody else could teach it. You could go there and learn it, but you couldn't teach it because you didn't have the scripture. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was living in Navadvipa, he went there. And he studied it. But his memory was so incredible that he perfectly memorized this vast scripture of thousands and thousands and thousands of verses. Came back to Navadvip, wrote it all down. There was not a single flaw in a single letter. And from then on, Navadvip became the high seat of learning because there was teachers who could teach every system of philosophy. This is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Rupan Sanatan Goswami, what scholars they were. When they were ministers in the government, they built an entire assembly house just for scholarly conferences. And when they would speak, even the greatest pundits would just be in awe at their mastery over all the scriptures. And unparalleled was Sri Jiva Goswami, who was considered by philosophers who have studied his teachings the greatest philosopher that ever lived. Such logic. Such scientific, systematic explanations in the deepest subtleties of spiritual truths. He wrote over 400,000 verses of philosophy. In fact, one of the most distinguished universities in all of India, Hindu Banaras University, has an entire department dedicated to trying to study his works. But what was the spirit that actually gave them the capacity to have such deep realizations? It was their humility, their simplicity, their connection to parampara, and their devotion and love. Thus we will speak this story. It is very beautiful and very instructive. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended onto this earth, he wanted to teach the most basic sublime lessons to all. When he was born at a time during the eclipse when everyone in the country was chanting the holy names of the Lord, Hari, to somehow or other neutralize the inauspiciousness of this astrological situation. So he was born while everyone was chanting. And he would cry. He was so beautiful. He had the beauty of Krishna, but a golden complexion. Therefore, the neighboring ladies called him Gaur Hari, the golden Hari. And what does Hari mean? The Lord who steals our hearts. He would cry. There was nothing else in the world that they wanted to do except make him happy. He stole their hearts. He would cry and cry and cry, and they would bring him gifts, and they would give him food, and they would give him milk, and everything. He just kept crying. When they were completely flustered, they didn't know what to do. Somebody just, Hare Krishna, and then he smiled. They knew the secret. They would gather around him all day, every day, just waiting for him to cry, and then they would chant and he would smile. And that beaming, loving smile satisfied all their innermost desires. But as he grew older, he wanted to teach a good lesson. That until you accept a proper spiritual master who loves God in disciplic succession of the true teachers, love of God does not awaken in your heart. So Lord Chaitanya, for about 18 years, pretended to be a scholar and did not demonstrate devotion. But he was such a scholar. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani chajuna bhavashani chabutani mamtu beda nakesh kashjana. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I know everything past, present, and future. I know every desire of every living being at all times. But me, no one could know in full. Vidaishta sarveraham eva vedyo vedanta krit veda vedeva chaham. I am the writer of the Vedas. I am the compiler of the Vedas. I am the knower of the Vedas. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. So when that person is on earth, who could possibly defeat him in debate? That was Nimai Pandit. Nimai Pandit. He would just debate even his teachers, even the greatest scholars when he was a little boy. He would conquer them. The devotees were praying, if only Nimai would become a devotee, his charm, his compassion, his qualities, his immense scholarship, he could make the whole world chant the holy names. They would pray. They would have kirtan. They would read Srimad Bhagavatam. They would do all their deity worship with the prayer, please Krishna, make Nimai a devotee. We can't be without him. He just attracts our hearts like no other. But we can't be with him either, because he won't talk about Krishna. He'll just engage us in all kinds of debate over grammatical rules. During this time, Lord Chaitanya, who was Nimai Pandit, would travel throughout the holy land of Navadvipa. And every day, he would come to the house of a very simple, poverty-stricken man. His name was Kolavecha Sridhar. He made his living simply by selling banana leaves, bananas, and some banana bark and banana roots. Whatever few coins he would make every day, the first thing he would do is offer, he would use half of it to worship the river Ganges, with the faith that the river Ganges is a great devotee of the Lord. The river Ganges is emanating from the feet of the Lord, and anyone who bathes in the river Ganges becomes purified, comes closer to Krishna. This compassionate nature of river Ganges was worshipable by him. And whatever little was left, he maintained himself and his family. So Nimai would come and he would quote a price. And Nimai would argue with him, I will give you half. Kolavecha Sridhar was as honest as Maharaj Yudhisthira. He was just absolutely an honest person. So simple, so pure. He felt such compassion for every living being. His little bananas and banana leaves, he would only charge the lowest possible price that he could survive with. How many businessmen do you know that do that? Usually you get, somehow or other, the most profit you possibly can out of something. And the only reason you ever go down at all is because there's competitors or the people won't buy it. But Kolavecha Sridhar had a different mentality. He just wanted to give his banana leaves and bananas at the cheapest price possible, where he could just somehow survive. And here comes Nimai and says, why are you charging so much? I will give you half. And then he would just pick up the bananas. And Kolavecha Sridhar would say, it is a fair price. Why are you saying like this? If you don't like my price, there's other places you could buy bananas and banana leaves. Go to them. Nehemiah would say, no, I know a good supplier when I have one. I will only take from you. Why are you cheating me with such high, exorbitant rates? I will give you half. In fact, I won't give you anything. I will just take it. And Kolavecha Sridhar would try to hold the Lord, and the Lord, are you going to take from a Brahmin? And Kolavecha Sridhar said, he was afraid the Lord might hit him. He's a Brahmin, and he's attracting my heart. Ultimately, I just want him to see him happy. He was thinking like this. Let him take whatever he wants. In this way, every single day, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of all Lords, that person who the demigods perform yajnas their entire life to get a moment's glimpse of, that persons, that yogis, perform severe austerities, meditation, their whole lives to get a glimpse of. That same person would every day to go to Kolavecha Sridhar's home and argue with him for 2 hours minimum. One day the Lord came to Sridhar. And he said, Sridhar, why do you worship Krishna? What are you getting out of it? Do you know that within the town of Navadvip, no one even knew his name was Sridhar? That's how insignificant he was. Whoever knew him just called him Kolavecha. You know what Kolavecha means? It means the banana leaf seller. They didn't even know his name. He was not there for name and fame or money. He was just a devotee. So on this particular day, Lord Chaitanya said, why do you worship Krishna? You're chanting Krishna all the time. You're worshiping Krishna. But what is he giving to you? Look at your body. It's emaciated due to improper, insufficient food. And look at your clothes. Do you call those clothes? Every piece of clothing you have on is so old and so tattered that there's at least 10 knots. You know what that means? He couldn't even afford needle and thread. When he had tears in his clothes or holes, he would just tie the two sides together and make a knot. And he said, and look at your house. You call this a house? It's made out of grass. One tiny little small room made out of grass. And he said, and I see there's holes in the roof. You can't even keep the rain out of your house. But I see that there are devotees of Durga and various demigods, and they have fine foods, beautiful clothing, palatial homes. Why do you worship this Krishna? What has he given you? The Lord challenged Kolavecha Sridhar, and Sridhar replied, he said, Nimai, I'm happy. I'm completely happy. He said, I have food. I'm living, aren't I? And I may not have the best of clothes, but my body is covered with something. And my house, it gives me shelter. What more do I need? I have seen and considered this world. And my observation is, there is a king who lives in a beautiful palace, who eats the finest foods, and who has luxurious, opulent clothing. And then there is the bird. His only clothing is one set of feathers. Doesn't even have a change. And he just eats the raw berries and the trees. And he lives in a little straw nest. I really don't see much difference between the bird and the king. They are both passing their time in the same way. But because I am chanting the names of Hari, I am experiencing inner joy, inner fulfillment. I don't require anything else. Lord Chaitanya challenged Sridhar. He said, "Do you know who I am?" Sridhar said, "You are a Brahman. Brahman is a worshipable representative of the Lord on earth." He said, "No, I am a cowherd boy." He was speaking the truth. But due to yoga maya potency, Sridhar could not understand. He just started laughing. Started like, "Coward boy." Laughing. And then the Lord said, "You worship the river Ganga?" "Yes." "Give me your bananas and banana leaves. For free." "Why?" "Because the Ganga is emanating from me. The river Ganges is my devotee." And Kulavecha Sridhar held his ears. He said, "Vishnu, Vishnu, how could you say this? How could you declare this of yourself?" Generally, as people get older, people become less restless. But with every day, you're becoming more restless. In this way, every single day, Nimai Pandit would debate with Kulavecha Sridhar on the price of banana leaves. And every day he would take them practically for nothing. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every meal practically, he would only eat off the banana leaves of Kulavecha Sridhar. And from time to time, on the grass roof of Sridhar's little one-space house, a pumpkin squash would grow. And he would always offer that to Nimai. And how Nimai ecstatically enjoyed that simple fruit that was offered by his devotee. One day when they were debating over the price of banana leaves, Lord Chaitanya said, "Why are you cheating everybody?" He said, "I know that you have a vast treasure of wealth hidden in your home. And you're just pretending to be such a poor man." Sridhar was shocked upon hearing this. He said, "You know, I'm not duplicitous. What's inside is outside. I don't have anything. You've seen my home. You could go anywhere. You have a great wealth, a treasure. And you have it buried. You are cheating us. You are concealing it. But someday, Sridhar, I am going to reveal and expose you to the world." After some time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the holy place of Gaya. Should I continue the story?
Yes.
Is there time? Thank you. I don't want to make any mistakes in New Dwarka. It's a very holy place. He went to Gaya, and there he accepted initiation from Srila Ishwarapuri. Today we had nice initiations of several devotees in our temple room. Following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they accepted their vows and accepted that connection to the parampara. When Lord Chaitanya got initiated by Ishwarapuri and was given the it was at that point that the manifestation of his ecstatic love took place. And upon giving the instruction of his guru to spread the glories of the holy name in all directions, that's when he began the Harinam Sankirtan movement. The Lord wanted to show the world that without being the humble servant of a great soul, who's in a proper line of great souls, ecstatic love does not awaken in a person's heart. That was his lesson. And his innermost devotees realized that he's Krishna himself who's tasting and distributing the ecstatic love of Sri Radha, the ultimate personification of all love. But Lord Chaitanya, knowing that there would be so many people declaring themselves to be God, or declaring that you could be God, he would not tolerate anyone calling him God, because he wanted to teach by his example. Who is Lord Chaitanya? It is a very, very deep subject. But from one perspective, Krishna came and taught us how to surrender to him in Gita, Bhagavad Gita. But then Krishna came again to demonstrate by his own example how to do it as Lord Chaitanya. He appeared in the role of a devotee. And if anyone would call him Krishna or Vishnu, he would hold his ears and cry out, "Vishnu, Vishnu, save me. Never contaminate my heart by calling me God. Mamayavam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana." We are all infinitesimal parts of God. We are all jivera swarupoi krishnera nityadas. We are the servants of the Lord. We are simultaneously, inconceivably, one with God in quality. Satchidananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But in quantity, we are like a sun ray compared to the sun planet. Our nature is not to be God, but to love God, to have an ecstatic relationship with God, which is called lila, or divine pastimes. But on one particular occasion, the Lord wanted to fulfill his most intimate devotees' heart's desires. In the house of Srivas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya came for kirtan. Srivas Thakur's house, which is called Srivas Angam, the Lord would have kirtan. Actually, for 1 year, the devotees didn't sleep. They had kirtan all night long. How did that happen? They were chanting and dancing all day. And one day, Lord Chaitanya just told them, "My dear friends, why are we wasting our nights sleeping? What are we gaining by sleeping? Every moment of human life is so precious. It is so dear. It is so valuable to progress on the spiritual path. Today I declare no more sleep. We will chant all night long." Now what would you do if Swavas Prabhu were to tell you that? Or Nirantra Prabhu were to tell you that? You don't have to answer my question, but think about it. But when Lord Chaitanya said it with such enthusiasm, all the devotees, "Harivo, Harivo, we want to do this. Why should we sleep? We will chant and dance with you for all night and all day." But it was at this point that Lord Chaitanya taught them the only way they could possibly do it. Would you like to know?
Yes.
The essence of all knowledge he gave them. How to be able to taste the sweetness of the holy name for all of eternity. He recited a verse. Trinadapi sunichena taror ivasehishnana. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should be more humble than a blade of grass. Now today, in world society, especially in Los Angeles area, people want to be very great. They want to puff themselves to very proud positions. Yes? I am very beautiful. I am very famous. I am very wealthy. I am very learned. I am very talented. Let the world see. Yes. But Lord Chaitanya is saying we should be more humble than a blade of grass. Now, coming into the temple, how many pieces of grass are on the lawn in front of Rukmini Dwarkadisha's temple? How many pieces of grass did you step on? How many blades of grass did you even acknowledge existed? Huh? Did any of you think, oh, this is a nice little blade of grass? Oh, this blade of grass is so sweet and so humble. No, you just don't even think. You just walk. What to speak of walking? Sometimes people spit. Sometimes dogs come, and we know what they do sometimes. And the blade of grass is happy, just being soft for everyone's feet. The Lord said, be humble like a blade of grass. Tolerant like tree. Tolerance of tree is unbelievable. Where I'm from in northern Illinois, during the winters, the trees are covered with ice. For four months at a time, just covered with ice. Yes, Vavas Prabhu? Of course, in Chicago, there's not so many trees. But and yet, they'll just give their wood so that you can make a fire to keep warm. That's tolerance. And in the summer, blazing heat. And they just stand there in the heat, tolerating it. And meanwhile, they give you shade to relieve you from the heat. Even if you cut down the tree and take away its body, it gives its wood for you to make a house to protect your body. More tolerant than a tree. But those are the easy parts. Now we're coming to the difficult aspect of Lord Chaitanya's teaching. Are you ready? Offer all respect to others. And expect no respect for oneself. Very difficult. But if we can simply live by these four principles, Kirtaniya Sadahari, Lord Chaitanya told his devotees, we could chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. What is the example of the tree and the grass? We can't imitate, but we must understand the spirit is that our happiness is in serving others. Bhaktivinod Thakur, he wrote that the sufferings that I endure in serving you and your devotees, Krishna, they are my greatest happiness. That's love. That's internal. So the devotees were chanting the Harinam, Mahamantra all night long in Srivasa's house. And Lord Chaitanya, in the role of a devotee, was just chanting and dancing with them. But one day, he really wanted to fulfill their desires. They wanted to worship him as God. Because according to all the holy scriptures, according to his qualities, they understood he is the incarnation of this age of Kali. It is prophesied. So on that day, when the kirtan just began and he was about to start dancing, he sat on the throne of Lord Vishnu. Ah, the devotees were, we cannot imagine how happy they were at this. They could finally openly express their love for the Lord, which they had to kind of keep concealed due to the Lord's lesson to the world. And the Lord told them to sing the Abhishekam song, so they knew what that meant. So they began performing Abhishek ceremony, bathing him. The maid servants and the servants of Srivas Thakur were bringing jug after jug. They were clay pots, pot after pot of water from the Ganges, bringing them all the way from the Ganges and lining them up nicely. And the senior devotees were bathing the Lord. There was one very simple, poor, uneducated maidservant. Her name was Duki. Who knows what Duki means? Together, what does Duki mean? It means miserable. Huh? Her name was Miserable because she... How would you like to have a name like that? Miserable. So, she was so humble. She was just getting jug after jug after jug of water from the Ganga and just lining it up very nicely for a devotee to bring and give it to one of the very senior associates of the Lord, and then they would pour it over the Lord's body in devotion. So she was just really behind the scenes. But Lord Chaitanya is in everyone's heart. The Lord understands the purpose in which everything is offering. The Lord does not consider who is big and who is small. The Lord simply considers our sincerity. And all, there were avatars there. Advaitacharya is Mahavishnu, Sadashiva, Gadadhar Pandit is Srimati Radharani. Srivas Thakur is Narada Muni. Pundari Haridas Thakur is Lord Brahma. Pundarik Vidyanidhi is Vrishabhanu, the father of the Lord. They were all there singing. And who is Lord Chaitanya looking at? Duki. Because she was so honestly and sincerely just trying to be the servant of the servant of the servant. She did not want any recognition. She just wanted to help those who were helping those who were helping those who were helping those who were serving the Lord. Lord Chaitanya was watching her with great happiness. And he asked Srivas Thakur, "Who is that? Who is that?" And Srivas Thakur said, "That is one of the maidservants. Her name is Duki." And the Lord said, "The name Duki does not sit properly in my heart. From this day on, I will call her Suki." Suki means happy. It means happiness. The opposite of Duki. But when Lord Chaitanya gave her that name, he also gave her the realization of her name. her heart flooded with ecstatic love. Tears of ecstasy fell from her eyes. She trembled in love. So in this way, the Lord was fulfilling all the desires of his devotees. He was calling each devotee up one after another. And just the form of God that they particularly had faith in and worshipped, he actually revealed to them right before their eyes. It was a very wonderful, wonderful experience. To Murari Gupta, who is a devotee of Lord Ram, he revealed his form of Ram, Sita, Lakshman, and Hanuman right before his eyes. And then he really surprised the devotees. He said, "Bring Sridhar." The devotees asked, "Who is Sridhar?" "He is the banana leaf seller." "Well, where are we going to find him?" "He chants the holy names all night long. Go to the outskirts of town and just listen for the chanting of the holy names and follow that sign and you will follow that sound and you will find him." Should I tell you something else about Sridhar? Yes. The reason I'm asking this question is to see if you're all awake. Because usually when I give classes, the people fall asleep. Kolavecha Sridhar would chant all night long, every night. He was addicted to the holy names. He tasted such nectar in the holy names. And he would chant loudly. And this disturbed the neighbors. It's not only the Hare Krishna movement that disturbs neighbors. But this is a tradition that has gone on for at least 500 years. So Kolavecha Sridhar was chanting very loudly. And the neighbors, they were so upset that we need good sleep. Why? Because we have to go out and have full concentration and energy to make money. Because money is the honey. So they would say, and Sridhar was just, they were wealthy people. He was just this poor, living in a grass hut. They would say, "Shut up!" He would continue chanting. "We know why you're chanting. Because you're so miserable. Because your belly is so empty. It's causing you such pain. Just due to hunger pains, you're screaming all night." And they just take a vegetable and throw it at him and say, "Just take this and shut up." But Sridhar, he didn't care what anyone thought about him. He was intoxicated in the nectar of the holy name, constantly chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." So the devotees went to the outskirts of town and they were listening. And sure enough, they heard Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And they followed, followed, followed. It was louder, louder, louder. Then they came to this little one-room grass hut. And there was Sridhar inside, ecstatically chanting the holy names. Now Sridhar understood that Nimai Pandit was the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. He understood this as soon as the Lord revealed himself and revealed the Sankirtan movement. So the devotees said to Sridhar, "Lord Chaitanya is calling for you to come." Sridhar couldn't believe it. He started to cry. "He's calling for me? Why would the Lord want to see me?" He said, "He's calling for you now. Please come." Kolavecha Sridhar out of his humility, was so shocked, he actually fell to the ground unconscious. The devotee somehow or other got him back up and brought him to Srivasangam. Lord Chaitanya was on the throne of the Lord, waiting for him. As soon as Sridhar came in, Lord Chaitanya said, "Sridhar, ask for any benediction you like."
Sridhar said, "My Lord, I do not want anything from you."
Then Lord Chaitanya said to Sridhar, "Behold, behold my transcendental form." Then he saw Lord Chaitanya. His complexion became dark like the tamal tree. He exhibited his eternal form of Lord Krishna. That dark form had beautiful lotus-like eyes. His lips were bright red like the bimba fruit. His nose was like the sesame flower. Each of his cheeks was like a full moon. His beautiful silk and black hair was covering part of his cheeks and cascading down his wonderful shoulders. He had a lower cloth that was shining with the brilliance of lightning in a golden yellow color. He had a beautiful garland of wild forest flowers around his neck. In one hand he held a flute. The other hand was standing right beside his elder brother, Balaram. Balaram's complexion was like a newly formed spring cloud. It was pure white. This beautiful darshan of Krishna Balaram stood before Kulaveta Sridhar. Then he saw the greatest personalities of the universe worshipping them. There was Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Narada Muni, the four Kumaras, Sukadev Goswami, Prahlad. They were all gathered around the Lord offering prayers and worship. Then he saw hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune singing the praises of Lord Chaitanya. He saw the beautiful forests of Vrindavan with kadamba trees, the river Jamuna. This was all revealed to his eyes. Kulaveta Sridhar fell to the ground unconscious. It was just too much for him to see this. And the Lord touched him and said, "Sridhar, arise." Sridhar got up. And Lord Chaitanya said, "You are living in abject poverty. I want to give you a benediction. Ask for anything." Sridhar said, "All my desires are fulfilled by seeing this beautiful form of yours. I have nothing else to ask for him." The Lord became very, very firm in his order. "Ask for a benediction. You're so poor. I will give you an entire kingdom, a beautiful palace with all riches, and I will make you the unrivaled king." Sridhar said, "My Lord, what will I do with that? I do not want any of that." Lord Chaitanya said, "Then I will give you the 8 mystic perfections where you could perform any type of miracle with supernatural powers." Sridhar said, "That would just be a distraction in my life." I do not want any mystic perfections.
The Lord said, then I will give you liberation, mukti.
Sridhar said, I have no desire for mukti.
Then I'll give you elevation to the spiritual world as my eternal associate.
Sridhar said, my Lord, I do not want that from you either.
Finally, Lord Chaitanya, he was actually in transcendental anxiety. He said, Sridhar, I want to give you something. It will make me happy to give you something. Please please me by asking for something. Ask for a benediction. Kulavecha Sridhar said, I'm happy simply remembering you. If you want to give me a benediction, then grant me this. That birth after birth after birth, in my heart of hearts, I will always remember that naughty little Nimai coming to steal my bananas. My Lord, in every birth, please come and steal my bananas. And in this way, allow me to be the servant of the servant of the servants and remember you in this way. When Kulavecha Sridhar asked for this, Lord Chaitanya began to cry. The purity of his love actually conquered the supreme absolute truth. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu granted that benediction. He said, I grant you pure, unalloyed devotion for all of eternity. And all the devotees were chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. During this beautiful pastime, Lord Chaitanya ordered Kulavecha Sridhar to offer prayers to him. Kulavecha Sridhar said, I'm uneducated. How am I going to compose prayers for you? Lord Chaitanya said, just try to say anything. Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana pariupashate tesham nityabhuyuktanam yogakshemam bahamyam. Krishna promises, if one surrenders to me, I will preserve what they have and carry what they lack. He demonstrated this in this particular instance. Simple little Sridhar just opened his mouth, and Lord Chaitanya sent the goddess of learning, Saraswati, to make her presence on his tongue so that he could eloquently speak what was in his heart. He prayed, all glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Nimai Pandit, the Lord of Navadvip. He has descended from the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan to give the great treasure of love of God to everyone. And what is that love? What is the gift that Nimai has come to give the world? Pure devotion. Because devotional service conquers the Lord himself. In his prayer, Sridhar gave many examples. It was devotional service that gave the power of Bhishma. Bhishma caused the Lord to break his own promise. Bhishma conquered the Lord by his love. And similarly, Krishna's wife, Satyabhama, she wanted a parijata tree from the heavenly worlds. She told Krishna, bring me a parijata. Prabhupada said that to Satyabhama, Krishna was like a henpecked husband.
Now, I don't know what henpecked husband means so much because I'm a sannyasi, but some of you may understand these things better than me. Krishna was conquered by her love. He just, whatever she said, he just did it. So many beautiful examples of how the Lord is conquered by his devotees. How Yudhisthira Maharaj, Krishna became his courier. Krishna became his menial servant because he was conquered by love. And in Vrindavan, the cowherd boys, they will wrestle with Krishna and Sridhama will defeat Krishna. And Krishna will have to carry Sridhama on his shoulders to show the whole Braj Bhumi that I have been defeated. Conquered by love. It is only devotion that conquers you, my Lord. But I am so unfortunate, I have no devotion. In this way, Kulavecha Sridhar glorified the path of pure love. And he was given the fulfillment of his innermost heart's desire. Sometime later, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed an incredible pastime. Do I have time to speak something about it? He would do this kirtan all night long at Srivasa's house. And blasphemers, they would stand out the house and they would say, because only very, very pure-hearted souls were allowed in. Because it is a very sacred principle that you do not reveal higher ecstasies to people who do not have the adhikar or the internal purity to comprehend it. Some people show off these things just to attract cheap followers. But great souls are very chaste and modest about their inner realizations. And they speak basic truths to people who are not on a very high level. That is a tradition that has always been followed by our beloved acharyas. So in Sridhas Angam, these devotees, when they were chanting, they would go into spiritual conditions that common people could not understand. So only the highest levels of devotees were allowed in. So some very puffed up people who thought they were very spiritually advanced, very learned, they were blaspheming. These people, why are they in there like that? We know. We know why they're not letting us in, because we are moral, ethical, learned, spiritually realized people. And what are they doing? Why are they screaming all night? During the day, they find young virgin girls, then they bring them, then they get drunken with wine and other intoxicants, and they're all intoxicated, and God knows what they do in there. They're just screaming and yelling. We know, and we're going to expose them. And the innocent people would say, what nonsense you're speaking. Because of you, none of us are allowed in. Ah, you're one of them. Beat them, beat them. And they have to run away. So one day the innocent people, in the early morning, they came to Lord Chaitanya and offered beautiful gifts. Now this is a long story. It takes at least 2 hours to tell. So I'm going to give a very, very brief sketch of a summary. So they came with love, and the Lord instructed them. Chant the names of Krishna, my brothers. Worship Krishna. Always remember Krishna. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is your life, your treasure. Krishna is your life and soul. Take the name of Krishna. And then Lord Chaitanya gave them the Maha Mantra directly. He said this 32-syllable, 16-word mantra is the Maha Mantra. It is the greatest, most powerful of all mantras. It includes all other names of God and all other mantras. Chant these 16 names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There is no hard and fast rules to the chanting of this Hare Krishna mantra. Just together, in your homes. Just in your homes with your family. If you have instruments, mridangas, karatals, play them and chant. If you don't have instruments, just clap your hands and chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. While you're walking on the road, while you're in your shop, wherever you may be, with your friends, with your family, by yourself, just chant these names of Krishna. There are no hard and fast rules. Because by chanting this Maha Mantra, love of God will awaken in your heart, which is the crest jewel of all perfections of life. And you may also chant this mantra. Hariharaye namo Krishna Yadavaya nama Gopal Govindaram Srimadhusudan. In this way, thousands of people all over Navadvip were chanting Hare Krishna and clapping everywhere. But the ruler, the Chankazi, when he heard this, he became very angry. Very angry. He made a law. No one was allowed to chant any Hindu names of God in public. He had 100 soldiers combing the streets of Navadvip every day, just listening for the chanting. And wherever they heard it, they would beat people, they would arrest people, they would harass people, sometimes they would torture people. And the poor innocent citizens were coming to Lord Chaitanya and say, this is what they're doing to us. And Lord Chaitanya just said, don't worry about it, just go on chanting. It's easy for you to say that, but maybe we should just go somewhere else. Lord Chaitanya, when he saw that they were actually in anxiety, he proclaimed that tonight I will lead a procession throughout Navadvip chanting the holy names. Nityananda Prabhu announced it to everybody that tonight I will lead the Harinam Sankirtan procession. Death personified will stand before the blasphemers. What will they do to me? I will go right to the Qazi's door. What will he do to me? Everyone carry a torch and meet me at sunset. Millions of people assembled before his house. This was the first time in history Lord Chaitanya went out into the streets to perform Harinam. The first time in history the common people could see Lord Chaitanya's beautiful dance of love. How he danced. The beauty of the Lord. Everyone was simply looking at him. People were decorating their homes just so it would look nice as he danced by with all of these wonderful devotees. And when people saw him, they just left their houses, left their everything and ran to join the kirtan. They didn't even lock their doors. So the thieves were very excited. Everyone's left their homes with the doors open. This is ultimate opportunity. So they ran to plunder people's homes, but on the way they saw the kirtan. They forgot they were thieves. They became so intoxicated, they ended up just dancing and chanting in the kirtan. There are so many descriptions of this most incredible Sankirtan procession. Ultimately, he came right to Chankazi's house with millions of people with torches. And Chankazi became very humble. And ultimately, he had a conversation with the Lord, and the Lord treated him with such respect. They had a philosophical discussion, and Chankazi surrendered to the Lord and became a devotee. And made a promise that all generations of my ancestors will encourage and protect the rights of the Vaishnavas to chant the holy names of Krishna in the street. Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish Ki Jai. And I'm just about to end this long class. Within a matter of minutes, you'll see. So this was such a tremendous victory. The Lord manifested His supreme opulence in such a sweet and loving way. Even the demigods were disguising themselves as ordinary people just to join this kirtan. And after leaving Chankazi's house, Lord Chaitanya took this kirtan party to the little grass hut of Kolavecha Sridhar. Now, Sridhar had no possessions, but just outside his door, he had a really old, beat-up iron water pot. Just about this big. That pot he would use for any purpose required: to carry water, to drink water, to clean himself. The pot had so many holes in it and so many iron patches on it. It is explained in the scripture, Chaitanya Bhagavat, that even the most desperate thief on earth would not even put a glance on that pot. It was absolutely worthless. Lord Chaitanya saw that old, beaten iron pot of Kolavecha Sridhar, and here he has just revealed to all these millions of peoples his supreme opulences. He picked up that pot and drank the water from it. When he did that, Kolavecha Sridhar fell to the ground and said, "My Lord, what are you doing? Now I will die. Now I will die. You're drinking the water I've drunk from. You're drinking the water I've washed myself with. You have come here to kill me by causing me to commit such an offense. Should I continue?
Yes.
If you would like me to continue, loudly say Hari Bol.
Hari Bol!
Thank you. At that point, Lord Chaitanya, by drinking the water from Kolavecha Sridhar's pot, began to weep in ecstatic love. His limbs trembled, his hair stood on end, his voice was choked up. He said, "My whole life I have first been searching for love for Krishna. It is not until today, by drinking the water of Kolavecha Sridhar's iron pot, today I have tasted the supreme sweetness of ecstatic love of Krishna. This is the power of Sridhar's love. It has conquered me." When the devotees heard this and saw the Lord continuously drinking more and more water from the iron pot, they were falling to the ground. There was Gadadhar Pandit, Advaita, Srivas. They were just seeing the Lord's mercy on Sridhar, seeing how the Lord was glorifying Sridhar. They were so overwhelmed with joy. Haridas Thakur, Gangadas Pandit, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Budhimanta Khan, all of these great acharyas were just overwhelmed with joy to see this simple little banana leaf seller receiving such mercy from the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explains this is the quality of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is one whose greatest happiness is seeing other people getting the mercy of the Lord. A Vaishnava's quality is to find joy in seeing other Vaishnavas glorified and empowered by the Lord. Because the true meaning of Vaishnav is to have no envy in the heart. So these devotees, seeing Kolavecha Sridhar glorified by the Lord, attain the highest perfection of happiness. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to show the world something wonderful. It is explained in this case that if the richest man offers water, even the most delectable juice, in a golden pot ornamented with the most precious diamonds, rubies, emeralds, and pearls, the Lord will not even look at it if it is offered with pride. But the beaten up old iron pot of Sridhar that he had already drunk from and washed with was nectar to the Lord because of his devotion. People make offerings to the Lord with mantra, yantra, tantra, puja. And if it's offered with sincerity, the Lord will accept it. But Sridhar didn't even offer it. The Lord was so much eager to taste the sweetness of Sridhar's love, the Lord just stole it from him. We make offerings, but in this case, the Lord just came and took it. There was no mantra, no tantra, no puja, no yantra, nothing. That is the power of love. That is the power of devotion. Yes, on that day, Lord Chaitanya fulfilled his promise. He revealed the secret hidden treasure of Kolavecha Sridhar to the whole world. And what was that treasure? The treasure of his humble, simple, and sweet love, which is the ultimate treasure. Mahanidhi, the greatest of all treasures. The Purushartha Shiromani, the crest jewel of all goals of life. It's devotional service. And it is that love, that devotion that Srila Prabhupada has sacrificed his life to give us. It is that love, that devotion, which is the very essence and purpose of Sri Bhagavad Gita. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada has so mercifully made his commentaries on Bhagavad Gita perfectly according to the previous acharyas to reveal that treasure of love of God throughout. Therefore, he entitled it Bhagavad Gita as it is. In one place, Srila Prabhupada explains, I'm almost done, please bear with me. In one place, Srila Prabhupada explains the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement is not simply to defeat people by logic and argument. The real purpose of our movement is to induce people to sincerely chant the holy names of the Lord. Because it is through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord with proper spiritual guidance that this great treasure, the treasure that can purchase Krishna, the treasure of devotion, can be achieved. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I thank you very much.